Are we just being quiet?
We're just sitting around feeling no pain.
Okay.
But of course, anything can happen at any moment, so.
Yeah.
We're not committed to being quiet.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is somewhat hard to explain to the casual inquirer. I ran into an old friend today, and she's like, "So what are you up to?" And I don't know. It just doesn't really translate too well. But I tried.
Mm-hmm. Did she say that she would pray for you or walk away slowly? Or
no, I pointed her to Zen Bitch Slap, and she asked me to text her the website.
It's always good to have a trusting resource to send somebody to.
Well, he's a 12-step person.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that might resonate more.
Yep.
If she gets beyond that hurdle, I might bring her to Night Sky Sangha. You never know.
Mm-mm. Can't say.
Can't say. Hello, Beth.
Jeff?
Yes.
Did you ever hear of the Sing-a-Majig Symphony?
I don't think so.
You should look it up.
It's Thingamajig? Sing-a-Majig?
Sing-a-Majig.
Sing-a-Majig.
They've got these like little bears that each one sings a different note.
Ooh.
And they put together like a whole, they put together like songs squeezing these bears.
I like it very much.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Do they do the Bohemian Rhapsody?
I'm not sure. The only ones that I've seen so far are Hey Jude and a Journey cover, Open Arms.
Ooh. Well done.
So I started laughing this morning on the way to work, and it got a little out of control.
Oh, goody.
And I laughed until my sides were splitting for a good, like, 15 minutes on the way into work. Everything started to get really freaking funny.
Mm.
Like, I mean, just hilarity. Like, I put sure. these funny, like, claw things on my feet this morning so I could salt the driveway and not get out into traffic. And
oh, you had, like, shoe cleats.
Yeah, little shoe cleats.
Yeah.
That was the funniest freaking thing. It's like, oh, and because it really pleased me. I felt safe and like kind of warm and fuzzy that I had the shoe cleats and I wasn't trying to salt this driveway. It was so funny. I don't know, Jeff. I think I'm just going to laugh myself right out of this belief that I exist.
Mm. You know, you could put a set on your hands and just climb right up a tree.
I like that idea. Francine, you missed the singing bears. You ever get the sense it's just all a big joke?
I do.
During that period of laughter, I couldn't take a thing seriously. Everything was like it was hilarious that I would ever take things like my job seriously or
Sure.
anything. And I looked at all of it and it was just cracking me up that I would ever think it was important or serious.
Sheet laughter. It's raining so hard, or you're laughing so hard, you're laughing sideways. Yeah, why not? Yay, pretzels. Consciousness is very pleasing if it's not driving you mad.
The only way it can really even drive you mad is if you take yourself to be somebody. And if you think it's important what happens in your little life.
Yes. Even though you can, look at your computer screen and perhaps see a reflection of what appears to be your own image, you're not actually tethered to what appears to be your biological sheath.
Thank God.
Yeah. You don't have to be pushed around by the fear and loathing that is so prevalent amongst the lamenting primates. Francine's playing peekaboo.
Speaking of that, I'll only be here till 8, but I just wanted to say
Very good. We can good in about 10 minutes we can start talking about you.
okay.
The end of a wanting is not really so far away. We create overly dramatic or overly complex hurdles and circumstances, imagining that the end of wanting is, only going to be at the tail end of some, arduous or steep path of purification or something. But the end of wanting is just here. It's really right at hand. one can discover a kind of cellular or fractal or subtle exuberance, a hum or a buzz in the field. And our attention rests there or here. Mean, it's nice to tell funny stories about the nature of what we refer to as the self. Expose the extreme frivolity of mind and drama. You know, but even that is it's a form of entertainment.
Was that?
Think Francine has gone underwater.
Think she's
I just
using
got
sonar
back.
to find her way around.
That was a police car going by.
It was a New York City police car driving by our video chat.
What would be left of if we did not constantly seek entertainment?
Seinfeld reruns, hot chocolate. Know, for fun, you could kind of add up everything that's happened, even though what you think has happened is very different than what someone else thinks has happened, right? I mean, even living in the same apartment building, what you think has happened is a completely different universe than someone living next door or above you or below you, right? And even though major events have occurred in New York City, everyone's experience of those events or how they hold them is completely unique. I mean, it's amazing that we can pretend to communicate with each other at all about the presumption of a shared universe in which we both exist or are portrayed as creatures. You know, if you spent time in Bulgaria, you know, or unfortunately, the Ukraine or South America or the high peaks of the Andes or in an Antarctic science station. You know, your life and what was in your life and how you lived your life and what was important to you and what you pined for, what you sought, what you avoided, would be an absolutely unique universe. You could go to the same Starbucks every day and see the same counter person pretty much every day that gets you your decaf macchiato and slightly warmed chocolate croissant. And for you, it would be a very familiar universe on one side of the counter And for them, you might be a very familiar universe being on the other side of the counter. But you can't really say that you really ever met.
Well, then from that, could we say that nothing can really be defined?
Well, that would be an implication. Because if it's defined, can only be defined as a frozen simplicity, right? Whereas the, call it the actual or fully featured divinity of your actual experience is so much stranger than an oversimplified frozen event. We're bored because we superficialize. The poignancy of one's present experience, if felt, considered, contemplated, is far stranger than the tendency we have for superficializing everything, oversimplifying. Being presumptuous.
But isn't being presumptuous just basing what we think we know on something that already happened?
That's one style of our being presumptuous, reporting on, all something already long gone. If we learn or stumble into an observation that our present experience is actually beyond reporting, then it's possible that a window of fascination opens up. That present experience, regardless of what may be appearing in it, is perfectly and involuntarily on cue. But if we don't have any contact with that, then it's easy for us to become restless and choice burdened, right? Restless, superficial, and choice burdened, because we fail to see that the miracle of present being is involuntarily on cue. This observation of the texture of experience being marvelously and involuntarily on cue has no bottom. It's not a single or simple observation. Because the miracle just doesn't quit. resting in this is it's a dynamism. It can be accompanied by, histrionics of all kinds. But it can also be marvelously relaxed, unencumbered from the need for it to become something. And so the end of becoming, which is this present moment, can turn out to be nourishing or wonderful, maybe, intelligent, creative, full of charm and humor. You could say it's noticing that if that quality of affection that underlies our casual and intimate relations with each other. Behind what we say is our togetherness, right? The glance, the warmth, the feeling of each other, the depth of noticing, the vulnerability, the enjoyment of someone appearing in the field of your own experience. We like each other. A warm cup of tea and nothing to say. It's really remarkable to have an encounter with a depth of nourishment that truly puts the 86 on accumulation or acquisitiveness or becoming. We're trying to stow away enough present peace that we might take it out later and snack on it. Even when we're having a good time or we're spiritually sanguine, we have that ridiculous nagging feeling of, oh, will it last? Is this really it? Am I good enough? How can I, pack some of this away and take it out on a cold day? You see, it's like we suffer from a profound and chronic mistrust of our own present experience. And this is a tragedy of a certain kind of restlessness or insufficiency. It's a neurosis. What a marvelous encounter that we can have a relationship with our present experience and not suffer that neurosis. It's like, wow, okay, I'm here now, or I'm living now, or this is this now. And I'm not wanting, not qualifying it, not convincing myself that it's the best or the worst, or that it's artificial or superficial or non-lasting. You can actually rest in this with absolute confidence, absolute autonomy. Isn't that what we want? Just to be ourselves with absolute confidence, absolute autonomy, not beholding to anyone or anything, not artificial, not incomplete, not being a beggar for better experience than this. And if I'm not begging for some better experience than this, then maybe I discover that I can occupy my present experience with the greatest of ease. The daring young man on the flying trapeze. What the fuck am I going to find at Machu fucking Picchu if it's not myself? Let's say I do an enema with Deepak Chopra. Oh, goody. You know, these highly evolved salespersons sell you on themselves. They don't sell you on you. What good is their knowledge to you? What good is their anecdotal stories, their celebrity? Right? Their evocative personas, their chronic forms of attention seeking. What good is it? You're after you, not them, not their knowledge, not their life experience, not their shitty spiritual experiences, which suck. You're just interested in you. Confident, autonomous, free from becoming. That's the gift of friendship. That's the gift of revelation. That you discover you. Not take my fucking correspondence course so you can study more bullshit. Or tried to emulate useless and absurd spiritual experiences which amount to nothing but a pile of steaming poo. on a cold New York City street near a subway grate. I mean, what's the point of even having a spiritual experience? It's just more distraction. It's like we have to come up with some just another clever metaphor, another explanation, a higher order of magnitude, another dimension. What's wrong with this? We need another dimension where dolphins have wings, unicorns flirt with Garuda. Where does all that demonstrative superstition lead you anyway? You know, doesn't go anywhere. There's no deliverable.
Well, it does seem like some sort of a hallucinogenic escape.
Yes. Well, that's right. And of course, we're fond of hallucinogenic escapes for as long as we're bored or partial. Right? It's my partiality which encourages me to go find more, other, elsewhere. That's what I don't see. It's the imagination of my own partiality or insufficiency that encourages me to seek elsewhere for more. And what do all the elsewheres and the mores get you? Well, just another round of elsewhere and another round of more. After I get my certification in craniosacral therapy, oh, then I'll study myofascial release and zero balancing and Traeger work and hyperbaric reflexology. And then I'll get myself an infrared sauna. And then I'll study the reconnection work, matrix energetics. I'll become an expert in the Akashic field. I'll study astrology and Uber astrology and Tibetan astrology and Advaitic astrology and raves. Maybe I'll zip come around the back and do a little polarity therapy. I'll get a high colonic. Oh, I got this down. I got more workshops planned than I have days off. I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose my job. And then I'm going to do the four agreements. And then I'm going to eat some Humantashen. And then I'm going to go to Brooklyn and I'm going to visit the grave of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Menachem Schneerson. Then I'm going to take a drive out to Western New York where the Iroquois and Joseph Smith and Jesus Christ met and either dug up or buried the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And I'll pull into a roadside diner and order some cherry pie and some crappy coffee and do the work. And then I'll blog about it and call my therapist. Well, I'll stop off somewhere for a nice warm sweat lodge. Then I'll say, ho, Mataquiasin. Drive all night on my way through the central part of the United States and get picked up by a lonesome Pleiadian who penetrates me with a cool metal probe. And after we've had a nice cold beer, we'll go and tip some cows. We'll end up at some new non-dual conference somewhere south of Chicago. A bunch of people can tell me how they stopped seeking. Yep. I got places to go, people to meet. I am crazy in love with enlightenment. Don't get in my way. Maybe I'll smoke a blunt with Emily Blunt. And then I can go out there maybe and visit a Lincoln dealer and pretend that I'm what's his name driving around in a Lincoln. I drove these cars even before they hired me to sell these cars. I love my Lincoln. Yep. I'll drive down to Texas, maybe, and go to a Course in Miracles class with Marianne Williamson. Everyone will heal and hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and I'll get a Woody and hit the dusty trail. Yeah, there's nothing you can't do.
Don't forget a visit to Patagonia.
Yep. Gotta go to Patagonia, have a glass of juice with Gabe Cousins. Hey, Gabe. You sure look raw. I sure wish I had a Native American name like Yellow Horse Piss.
That's Rabbi Yellow Horse Piss.
Rabbi Yellow Horse Piss to you, hombre. Yep. Yeah, then we'll just tune in to non-dual radio and listen to what Peter Fenner's got to say about things, or Rupert Spira. You can always go mountain climbing with Bentinho Massaro and regain our true nature by setting forth exactly what it is that we want and manifest it too. We could eat some gluten-free pasta. Go to a petting zoo. Could stop into a bar and sing some Hare Krishna. Jaya Jagadish Hare. I haven't even crossed the Mississippi yet. Yep. And I can start a Facebook page all about myself. Yeah, it's hard to find things to do when there's nothing to do. Sure wish something would happen to me. Anything. And I sure would like to care about it too. That's hard to come by. Sure would like to end suffering in this world. I just can't find the time. Too busy meditating. Probably would be nice to get enlightened. I just wouldn't know. Maybe I'll read a book about it. There's got to be somebody out there somewhere that knows something about something. Maybe I could get some hair extensions, tie them into some dreadlocks, and go to the Agape Church, hang out with Michael Beckwith, and get real excited about nothing at all. Or I could go gaze at Brazzo and heal myself. Brazzo could gaze at me, maybe.
You could bring a family photo with you too.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. I'll go see John of God and he could pull something out of my chest. With a fork. And if that's not enough, I'll steal a crystal skull from an ancient Incan palace and make it do my bidding. I'm having more fun than anybody, and I'm just sitting here. Look at my adventures. They're crazy. When this isn't about anything, it's not about anything. You can just be your ordinary, playful self without a care in the world, or with a million of them. And neither one matters. If it turns out that you're the simplicity in which all occurs and arises, imagination of restlessness and insufficiency and becoming can just go into abeyance. One's complaint can go into abeyance. You don't have to buy the next book, the next CD, work your program, insist on anything, secretly pine that something comes true. Your experience doesn't even have to be amazing. thankfully. It might be, but doesn't have to be. We don't have to have a dependency relationship with a certain quality of experience, being the barometer that I am sovereign and autonomous and free from becoming. Certainly don't have to reflect on anything the Buddha said as being true or useful. One is released from all superstition and all authority. Questions about this, or questions about that, or the nuances of togyal. This is all frivolous demonstration. There's nothing true prior to this. There's nothing true other than this. There's no point in subscribing to a fantasy that needs to be justified or refuted. One's own being is replete. Nothing needs to be justified or refuted, clarified, made better. Master, master, if I become famous, will it interfere with my chances for enlightenment? Just what do we want from Tony Robbins anyway? Isn't this moment the deepest poignancy of affection that there is? Hasn't this moment always been the deepest affection and poignancy that there is? Wouldn't it be wonderful to take such delight in the entire atmosphere of one's presence that our mind forgot to plan for tomorrow? That we became so admiring so naturally in love with our present experience that we forgot to think anything about it. Weasel out of it, qualify it, insist that it were not so or weren't full in some way. We think we might want something, but what we really want is to stop wanting entirely. And this poise comes as a kind of a grace. It's not earned or won. It's not the consequence of skillful means or practices or clever orientation. This is just so. Why would I want to fuck it up by trying to manifest something? Why would I want to fuck this up with the likes of me? Why would I want to screw it up by thinking that it or I am powerful or empowered? Why mess with it? Why place oneself in this fluffy miracle of resting? To want something from this is perpetual misery. Someone's got some pretty big cockroaches in their place. I think they're walking out with the furniture.
It's the radiator.
It doesn't really heat the place. It just makes a lot of noise.
No, it's pretty warm.
Yeah. When I lived in Brooklyn, I had to wrap like 3 inches of insulation tape around the riser pipe that was in my bedroom and sleep with the window open. That's how hot that sucker was, and it wasn't even a radiator. It was just the riser pipe going to a floor above me, I think. Like the joy of one's being is complete. There's no need to convince oneself or anybody else of anything. Moo Burger. One's own presence fills us to the brim. Anything some pundit, some celebrity, some guru has to say about this is of no use to me. Oops, I forgot I was something. This was a real thrilling chat. I hope no one listens to it while driving heavy machinery. We'll drive the haybine right into the barn. Wish everyone's aspirations come true. If you happen to be a lottery winner, well, just keep us in mind. Nice to see everyone. Keep up the good work. Don't let the bastards get you down. Next year in Jerusalem. Like Spock always says, live long and prosper. Got a song for us?
We have an outro song.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an intro one?
Mm-hmm.
I missed it.
Everybody. Just get enlightened, midnight sky sangha. We do something about it.